Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to be able to pause this afternoon. A bunch of my normal viewers are actually at my house right now because my whole family's here for a birthday, which is lovely. But it's great to pause and open up God's word. And today we're thinking about the question, what do we do when our hearts condemn us? But before we find out the answer to that, let's come before him in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us, and we acknowledge our weakness and our struggles at times, and so we pray that as we open up your word, that you would give us fresh assurances today through it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles handy, we're going to be turning back to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Well, what do we do when our hearts condemn us? What do we mean by our hearts condemning us? Well, I'm sure you've all experienced this if you've been a believer for any sort of length of time. There are periods in your life where you sort of struggle and you have doubts. And sometimes those things come from outside, like the devil will try and wreck the joy of our salvation. And sometimes it's the world. The world seeks to crash us down and push us down. And many of these things can lead to us doubting whether we're saved, doubting our standing before God. Well, there's another type that comes, and that's from within. It's a doubt, a lack of assurance that comes from in the heart. And it's when our heart condemns us. It's when our heart sort of looks at our life and tries to convince us that we're not Christians. It's an internal reality. What do we do? Well, John says, reassure us. Reassure ourselves. We should reassure ourselves. Verse 19, he says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before God. Okay, so what does it mean then? How do we do that? How do we reassure our hearts? When we feel our hearts pushing in on us, when we feel our inner person pushing back against us, where do we turn? What do we do? And John suggests three things. Firstly, he says that we reassure ourselves by looking back at how we've behaved. This may sound a bit odd to you, but if you think about the transition of that verse, maybe I'll just pop it up here again. He says, by this we shall know. By this. What's he referencing when he says, by this? And if you were here yesterday, you'll remember that John was talking about us loving our brothers and sisters, and that loving our brothers and sisters is a very, very strong way in which we find assurance that we're part of the household of God. So what John is suggesting is that what flows out of us loving our brothers and sisters in the church is this ability to look back and say, I've been loving my brothers and sisters. Therefore, though my heart tries to condemn me, I can have this assurance that I'm not guilty. And so there's this sense in which we look back to a clear conscience. It's not that our clear conscience makes us acceptable to God. It's not that our loving our brother or sister earns us a right relationship with God, but because it's the fruit of who we are, because it's the fruit of us being a part of the family of God, we can look back at it and we can say, well, look, I'm producing the type of fruit that a Christian should produce. Therefore, I can have confidence, I can have assurance that I am in fact a part of the household of God. And so good works, one of the great things that come out of good works is that it gives us this level of assurance. But there's another way in which we can look back and we can look back and just see the way God's worked in our lives. You know, if you just sit down and think of who you were 5 years ago, or maybe if you have a very mature Christian, maybe you can think back to what you used to be like 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, and consider where God has taken you, what changes he's brought in your life. Maybe he's really changed the way you relate to your husband, or maybe you're a far more gracious mother than you used to be, or maybe you're a better worker than you used to be, and an honest worker, whereas you used to not be. And what you're able to do is look back at those things and see that God's been at work in your life, and you can use that to reassure yourself. But there's a far more important thing, John says in verse 20. He says, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. You see, the key way in which we find assurance when our inner person, our heart, begins to accuse us and condemn us, the biggest thing we can do is not look towards ourselves or our behavior, though we are right in doing that. The biggest thing we can do is look to God. You see, because God is greater than our heart, what does that mean? Well, there's a couple of things it means. Firstly, it means he's greater than our sin. So you think about it, your heart considers your sin and accuses you of it. But when we consider God and God's attributes and God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and God's favor and God's work in Jesus Christ, we have assurance, don't we? We're reassured that our acceptance with God isn't reliant upon me and my effort to do well, but it's reliant upon God. And so in doing this, God assures us that we are one of his, and our heart can lay all the accusations it wants. But God is greater than our heart's ability to condemn us. And he's greater than our own weakness, our own human frailty, which struggles to deal with it. And so God in his strength, as we consider God's greatness and his majesty and his strength, if we think about verses like, no one will ever pluck you from my hand, we think to ourselves, well, that means I can't even pluck myself from his hand. Or you think about Paul saying that nothing, no created being can ever separate us from the love of God. Well, that means my heart, as hard as it might try to accuse myself, as many a doubt that I might have in my heart, that cannot separate me from the love of Christ Jesus. And so I can have assurance. But there's another aspect of God which really assures us, and that's his knowledge. John says that he is greater than our heart, but he also knows everything. Think, well, how's that going to help? Doesn't that mean he knows my sin? Well, it's not talking about your sin. The Bible clearly says that God will forget our sins. He will remember them no more. But no, you see, when you think about when your heart condemns you, how does the process normally go? You try and do something, it goes bad, and then you begin to accuse yourself, don't you? Oh, I did that wrong, or this was wrong. And in the meantime, you were trying to do something right. If you ever had that situation where you try and do something right and it turns out bad, and then you begin to accuse yourself really badly and you start to beat yourself up about it. Well, God knows all things. God knows your heart, not the condemning heart, but he knows your motives and your desires. He knows that you desire to be like him. He knows that you desire to be perfect, though you're not. He knows that you would love to be with him. He knows that you hate sin. And so God doesn't judge you based off actions. God's assurance doesn't come to you based purely off your ability to be good. There's a sense in which, because you desire to be like him, well, that's obviously one of the fruits of the fact that you're one of his. But the other thing is, it's an assurance of the fact that he's working to generate something within you. And so though your heart may condemn you, your your knowledge of the fact that God knows all things will bring you assurance because you know he doesn't judge like man does. You remember he says to Samuel, you look at the outside of the man, but I look at the heart. And that infallible, perfect knowledge of God, the knowledge which reaches far, far further than our sin, which reaches all the way into eternity, which goes all the way to the cross, that knowledge we can hold on to. It's the knowledge of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And so the problem is we can't see clearly, can we? We've got such a limited point of view. Like, we can only see what's right in front of us, and when our heart's condemning us, we've got a very narrow vision. But God doesn't have that narrow vision. He sees everything that he's doing in your life. And so you can reassure yourself that though you can't see through the gray times and through the clouds and through the difficulties, God knows all things. And so you have assurance in the fact that he is looking after everything. You know, when we feel condemnation, really of any type, but specifically this internal type of condemnation, what you need to do is remember this picture that John paints. You know, just picture yourself in a courtroom and you're in the box. You know what I mean by the box that people stand in when they're being accused of something. And the accuser is your heart. And the heart is sitting there accusing you. Ah, he did this and he did that. You know, he's no good at anything and he screws everything up and no one likes him and he's useless and he's sinful and we know what he's really like. And you're sitting in the box and you're defending yourself, saying, yeah, I get stuff wrong, but it's not about me. I believe in Christ. I know that there's all this sin going on in my heart and I'm trying to undo it, but surely there's another hope. There's hope somewhere in a dark place. Well, God is the judge. And that's what John sets it up like. There's the heart accusing, there's us defending ourselves, but God is the judge. He's the one who declares guilty and righteous. And the good thing is for you and I, he doesn't declare that based off us, does he? He declares that based off Christ. If you and I have believed in Christ, he declares us innocent. And so though the heart condemn us, yet God will defend us. Yet God will declare us innocent and just and righteous. Not because of anything in you or me, but purely because of what Christ has achieved on the cross. And what we need to do at times of condemnation, whether it's from within or from without, we need to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who offers us the ultimate assurance. Isn't that true? But we need to look to him. If we look purely internally, it won't be enough. There's a place for looking at our behavior, as John said. There's a place for looking at our love for one another and saying, I'm producing the fruit in keeping with righteousness. But ultimately, we need to look to Christ, who gives us the greatest assurance. And it's in his nail-pierced hands and his pierced side and his thorn-scarred brow. See, it's in the sacrifice of Christ that we find our ultimate assurance. And what John is driving us to have is confidence. See, in the next section, he's going to go on to talk about confidence in God, having confidence in God. And it comes through believing in Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you, at times of despair, at times of condemnation, to look not within, to where the heart lies, but to look without, to look to the one who declares you as innocent. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that at times we struggle with assurance, at times we are assailed by doubts, and we pray that you would help us fix our minds upon Jesus Christ, not to look to within, but to look to you. Thank you for the wonderful salvation that you have wrought for us in Jesus. We pray that you'd help us to rely upon nothing but Christ alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again. It's been great to work our way through John a bit more this week. Next week, we're going to be starting something new, and that's on Wednesdays. We're going to be starting to do what I've called Westminster Wednesdays, and we're going to work our way through the Westminster Confession of Faith. I'll give you a rundown what that is on Wednesday. Other than that, I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, same place, same time, for another week of daily devotions. I hope you have a most blessed Sabbath tomorrow as you go and worship with God's people in whatever way you can. And I look forward to seeing you again next week. God bless.